You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Two big metrics for a company are the value of its stock and the perceived quality of its products. And in both of those, there is some interesting news for the Detroit car makers. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here now. Daniel, let's start with the annual reliability survey from Consumer Reports. What is the news for Detroit car makers?
It's grim. Mm. I thought, you know, there were 29 brands that were rated by readers of Consumer Reports. The first American, Ford, doesn't come in till about place 17. And I should also add that Tesla is in this as well. And it's not just Detroit. And Tesla is almost dead last. It's 27 out of 29 in terms of reliability. And important to note, this comes from readers, not from professional critics.
So these are the people buying the cars.
That are buying the cars, that are driving their Buicks and Cadillacs and Fords and Hondas and their Toyotas and Lexuses, which we ranked, by the way, first and second. Hmm. The Japanese, I think, had 5 out of the top 10. A couple of Koreans in there, a couple of Germans, rounding out by Mini, which I think was number 9. And of course, they're owned by BMW. So
yeah.
So a lot of the processes that BMW uses would reflect into that brand.
And yet the narrative has been around this part of the world is, gee, Detroit's products are better than they've been in decades.
Well, I think they are. But like a lot of other things we talk about, you're not against the static competition. The competition's moving as well. And if you benchmark to yourself to the way the competition was 6-8 years ago, yeah, we are better. And I think you drive a lot of these American products and you think, wow, these are great. I mean, I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee and I think a lot of it's pretty bulletproof. However, it doesn't test out very well and the reliability on them is not necessarily so hot. I think this is a real problem. And this is it reflected in everything from stock prices to transaction prices, depending on what the product is and who they're competing against. And I've had some occasion to see some Japanese vehicles lately, and I've been very impressed with how much they're packing in and what they're offering to consumers for a lot better price. So this is, I think, one wake-up call that we're seeing is that, you know, you think you're there, and you're not there. This competitive, it's constantly competitive globally. And I'm not suggesting that some of the people inside these companies don't understand this. I think they really do. But I think that what matters is what those of us on the outside are seeing and feeling every day we get in our cars. And do we have problems? And are we going to the dealer? And, you know, do we have blank screens in our infotainment systems? And all those kinds of things that can really be aggravating to folks.
And then touching on a story in the front page of the Detroit News, a double standard about how the market reacted to reports of third quarter profits at Ford and Tesla. What's going on?
Well, Tesla hasn't had a quarterly profit in a very, very long time, and they finally post a quarterly profit at a very critical time as they're launching their Model 3. And in after-hours trading, the stock's up 30%. Meanwhile, Ford comes out, says, we've done another $1 billion. Our cash hoard's up to $23.7 billion. Our profit margins are continuing to go up, which is what we said we were going to be doing. And they're up about 4% in after-hours trading.
So Wall Street gives Tesla a great big, big pat on the back, and Ford gets a shrug. Why?
Well, I think it's emblematic of where we are, that essentially the investment community and the smart people looking for where the future is going in the industry is saying they're betting much more on Silicon Valley types like Tesla and potentially Waymo from Google and others than they are on the Detroit car companies. I think they're saying two things. One is, we're not convinced you guys can survive difficult times. You've had nothing but good times since about 2010. And number two, we're not convinced that legacy companies with 100 years of corporate tradition and culture can move quickly enough and be innovative enough and take enough risk to prosper in Auto 2.0. That's not me saying it. I think that's what the market is telling people. If you look at what's happening to the stocks of the auto companies, the traditional auto companies, GM and Ford, for example, they're getting pounded in this environment right now. And I think that's because a lot of them look at them as still cyclical plays that when rates go up and people stop buying cars as much, these companies are going to suffer.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thank you.
Thank you.